Today on Real Radio.
I don't care if you are a housewife, if you are a rocket scientist, I don't care where you are or what you do, your job is to deliver the gospel. If it's to your children, if it's to your neighbors, if it's to the corporate people around you, you are to be delivering the gospel, and you can do it because it's signed and it's sealed, and you'll have that power.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're in chapter 16, where quite a variety of evangelical endeavors are recorded. We see that both a believer and a non-believer are both affected by Paul's message. This study, called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, is taken from chapter 16 and verses 11 through 19. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
The title of the message this morning, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, and the meaning is being able to share or being ready to share the gospel. Have you ever been disappointed with doors being shut in ministry or in an opportunity and you're thinking, well, I thought God was with me? Well, I think Paul was very effective because even though doors were shut, Paul had the gospel of the living God. And when I say signed, sealed, and delivered, I mean in this text, or in this tense, that sign, the Bible declares, as we've studied in Hebrews on Wednesday night, that the entire Bible speaks about Jesus Christ. In fact, starting next Sunday, we'll get into the six-week series on prophecy, and that's one of the things that we're going to cover, that the Bible is not an accident, that the Bible is absolutely authoritative, and it speaks of the existence of Jesus Christ even before he came as a baby. It speaks of his eternal existence as God the Creator. Signed, the Bible contains and is in fact all of the revelation of God concerning man and Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. The Bible is the Word of God. Then sealed, that would mean in our title this morning that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he sealed or he guaranteed our redemption once and for all. When Christ rose from the dead, it empowered us to share this good news. Because when he rose from the dead, Jesus told us in John's gospel, I'm going to go away. And if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and he will teach you all things. And by the way, he'll be your power. And we've seen in the introduction of the book of Acts that in Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit is in fact our power to share the good news. And then delivered, that's our job. We are to deliver the Word of God wherever we're at. And I don't care if you are a housewife, if you are a rocket scientist, I don't care where you are or what you do, your job is to deliver the gospel. If it's to your children, if it's to your neighbors, if it's to the corporate people around you, you are to be delivering the gospel, and you can do it because it's signed and it's sealed, and you'll have that power. I've told you this story before, but I need to say it again. I'll never forget, Lisa and I were just talking about this the other day, so I threw it in here. We were going down the 91 freeway heading east, and if you've been down the 91 heading east in Orange County, and you're going to get on the 57 North, you take that connector, and guys, you know which one it is. It's a really neat high-speed turn, somewhere around 90 to 100. You know you can take this turn. But you're also about 90 to 100 feet above the ground, if you are aware of that point. You're way up there. And I'll never forget, we're bringing home Rebecca from the doctor. She was just about a year and a half old, and she looks out the window out of her car seat, and she goes, oh! So this is how big the world is. Because it was a clear day and you could see all the way to Fullerton or Riverside or something. And, oh, is this how big? So this is how big the world is. And we started cracking up. To a lot of Christians, the world is only as far as our nose leads us. Oh, look. Oh, wow. Listen, the world is so big. From our perspective, it might seem pretty small because our exposure is small. But to God's perspective, He holds, the Bible says, the universe in the span of His hand. And in the confines of that universe, He desires His gospel to be delivered. That's our job. So if your world, if my world seems a little small, you know what? Get out past your nose and pray that God would use you to deliver His message. That's what Paul's doing. He's spreading it around the world. And that's very important to us. The Bible says in Isaiah 52, verse 7, concerning us, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. That's the word gospel. Who proclaim peace and who bring glad tidings of good things and who proclaim salvation. So that's our job. In Acts chapter 16, verse 11, Luke tells us there, as he's the author of the book, he says, therefore, or because of all the above, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia. It's a colony. And we were staying in the city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she had her house or her household baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And so she constrained us. Now, it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. And when her masters saw that their hope for profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And so this morning in your notes, jot down, we're going to look at the first point, and that it is God's unorthodox ways. And it makes sense in a moment. God deals in unorthodox ways. Have you ever noticed that in your life? You think God's going to do something in your life, and I think I know how He's going to do it, and He does something totally awesome, totally different. Just when you think you got God figured out, He makes a left turn. And He does things so unorthodox, so to speak. I praise God that He is not limited by some standard or some rule book that He's got to keep in how He can do this, He can't do this, He can't do the other. What God does is always in compliance with His word. They're one and the same, so to speak. But God is sovereign, and God does things the way He chooses. The Bible tells us that in the earth, God does a strange work that no man can discern. Isn't that interesting? So in verses 11 to 15, we're going to see something that is rather strange. And ladies, I want you to keep your antenna up. You may not see it right now, but you're going to see it in a moment. And you're going to be very grateful for Christianity. I'll tell you that right now. But God desires us to share. As we jump into verse 11, look back up at verse 9, and this is what's happening. A vision appeared to Paul at night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, and for Paul, we're talking now, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, or because of what we just said, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace and the next day to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi. By the way, Luke loved Philippi. Listen to what he says about it. Which is the most foremost city of that part of Macedonia. It was a beautiful place. It's a colony. That means it's a Roman plant. It was a Rome away from Rome. Roman citizens were there. And this is kind of interesting. If you were a Roman citizen there in Italy, when Rome conquered an area, and if they conquered a city that was of importance to them, if you were a Roman veteran of war or of the military, they had you move there. They paid your expenses. They caused you to be exempt from Roman taxes. They lavished you with benefits just so that that city would have a Roman presence that was sensitive to Rome. And so it became a Rome away from Rome. And this area was known for that. And they had Roman roads. In fact, if you visit that area today, you'll still see the Roman roads that were built by the Roman government. A beautiful place. This Philippi, originally named by Philip of Macedon, we covered that last time. And in that city, as a Roman citizen, you had all the benefits and all of the privileges of Rome. And by the way, from the church that's going to start right here in Lydia's house in a moment, Paul will later write an epistle called the Philippians, or to the Philippians. And in that epistle, he's going to argue something like this. For our citizenship, Philippians 3:20, says that our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every person in Philippi recognized exactly what Paul was meaning. Paul was meaning that you Philippians, our citizenship's in heaven. They went, oh, that's so cool, because our citizenship is in Rome, even though we live in Philippi. And to the Christian who was in Philippi, they said, hey, man, even though we live in Philippi, our citizenship is in heaven. We understand exactly what that means. We have all the benefits, all of the goodness that heaven has to offer right here on earth. The Bible says that we are, past tense, inheritors of God's heaven. We just need to show up there and form, and we're looking forward to that day. But in Philippi, as we go through this study, we won't cover all of this today, but in Philippi, Paul will win three types of people to Christ, three kinds of sinners. First of all, we'll see a religious sinner, one to Jesus in verses 11 to 15. We're going to see a slave girl today who's possessed, led to Christ in verses 16 to 18. And then the next time we get back together on this study, we'll see a hardened man, a jailer, a man who works for the prison system, converted to Jesus Christ. So this is a very important part of Scripture, and we do well to listen to it. So here we go. It says in verse 12 that they were staying there in that city for some days. And this cracks me up. In my Bible, I got a little note going up to verse 10. Paul says, immediately, let's go. Come on, come on. Have you ever been there? It's a hurry up and wait kind of thing. Hurry up! You get there, hurry up and wait. They do all of this traveling, and they get to the place, and wouldn't you think that if God showed them a vision to go to this area, that there would be people standing on the shore with drums and a banner, welcome, Paul, to the European continent to share the gospel. There was nobody there. And then once they get there, nothing's happening. It says for some days. Don't let that fool you. It's not just a couple of 3 days. It's probably what most scholars believe by the construction of the words is that's probably close to a month or two. And they're really not doing much. What would you be doing? I'd be going up the walls. I'd be thinking, maybe we made a mistake. Wouldn't you? I would. And it says here, and this is slick, it says that on the Sabbath day, we, that is Luke now, has joined the party. We went out to the city, out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. How did they know to go to the riverside? First of all, there's no synagogue in Philippi. That means there was not 10 Jewish men in Philippi. So they couldn't have a synagogue. So the next thing, according to Jewish teaching, was to go to an area of water, either the seashore or a river, to go through their washing rites as Jews. And so Paul and the guys, the four of them, get up and they go down to the riverside, and there's these people there gathered, or women specifically, gathered for prayer. Guys, did you hear that? You usually find more women at prayer meetings, sad to say. We think we're too busy to attend prayer meetings, I think, most of the time. But there are these women gathered there for prayer. And they are praying, and it's a custom that they do that. And it says that they sat down, verse 13, and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. Now this is fantastic. The Hebrew rabbis taught this. Listen carefully. I say they taught this. I don't teach this. Neither does Calvary Chapel. Quote, it is better to burn the law of God with fire than to deliver it to a woman, is what they said. Well, I find that highly offensive, you might say. Well, you probably should. Paul the Apostle, was he not a rabbi? He was a rabbi. Paul seen women praying. You want to see what God's done in this man's heart? He's on a foreign mission field. There's some women over there by the riverside. Hey, come on, guys, let's go talk to them. This guy has absolutely changed of heart. He was taught, I'd rather burn the Bible than speak it to a woman. That's what they were taught. Gals, Christianity is your best friend if you haven't recognized it yet. You can go to every culture in the world, and where Christianity is at, women are exalted and women are treated with equality. Help me if I get hostile on this next one. The world has no right out there, outside those walls, to say, honey, submit to me, baby. I'm the macho man of the house. The world has no right to even put that claim on somebody's life. You know what context declares that right? Christianity. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21 that both of us, husband and wife, are to be submitted to God. And when that is the context, then this thing about submission is no longer an issue. Wives don't have to nudge their husbands, and husbands don't have to drag that verse out and say, submit. Oh, no. When two people are loving God in Christ Jesus, you never have to bring the word up because it's happening in your heart. And I tell you what, when the man, when his heart is submitted to Jesus Christ, you'll never hear about submission in your own home because a woman will recognize that. And she'll follow because this man is under the orders of Jesus Christ. I think that's very important. Paul's heart has radically changed. And he goes to these women, and that's the way it ought to be in the world. And again, where Christianity is not, you will find women in slave markets, and you will find women treated as dogs. And that's true in the Middle East today, where Christianity is not held to. It's tragic. If you don't know that, then you need to read about it and be thankful and give God glory. Christianity is our deliverer, Jesus Christ. But it says here in verse 14, it says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Listen to this. This is the reason why God has got Paul backed up against the wall and going over to the sea. There's a woman there that needs Jesus Christ. And listen to who this woman is. Her name's Lydia. She's not a Jew. Though she's seeking fellowship among the Jewish women, she is monotheistic. That is, she believes in one God, and so do you. She's not a polytheist. She doesn't believe in multiple gods like the gods of the pagans, or Mormonism believes in multiple gods, polytheism. We are monotheist. We believe in one God. This woman understands truth. She is finding people who know the one true living God. As I said, her name is Lydia. Listen to this. She is a seller of purple. And this is something, people. It means this woman had a very, very important job. She was in the textile business. She had a home in Thyatira, and she had a home in Philippi. She was very, very wealthy. She had servants. She was the regional sales representative for no doubt some firm. And she was in that area of Roman influence. How do we know this? It is fantastic to find out just recently they have unearthed in archaeological digs in the area of Thyatira, they have found a manufacturing plant of fabrics and of dyes. And they have on block inscribed there various accounts and various contacts in various cities of the Roman Empire. And it's where Lydia was based. She was a seller of purple. And I don't know how to tell this to you anymore. This is how it comes to my Looney Tune mind. The purple was known as royal purple. You ever heard of that before? We've heard of royal blue. Royal purple is one of the most fantastic colors you have ever seen. And you know who her major buyers were? The Roman government. The Senate wore that. Caesar wore it. They had multiple robes. The fabrics were dyed out of a sea urchin that was found, that when it was crushed and pulverized, it created a tremendous purple dye. Very expensive. At that time, it was equivalent now. that a robe dipped in that dye was worth $100 in that age, in that time and age. She was a toga pusher, is what she was. She specialized in royal togas, and it was a big money-making deal. She's wealthy. She's got the bucks. She's searching for God. Let that be a lesson to us. It says there that she's worshiping God. She worshiped. And the word worship means to revere or to adore, but it's with ignorance. She doesn't know who. She's worshiping God. Are you out there? The God who's made everything, the one true God, whoever you are, I worship you. She's worshiping God, but it's in ignorance. And what a precious value God has placed upon her life. It says here that in verse 14, it says that the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken of by Paul. This word open in the Greek means to open thoroughly. Ladies, it's the word that means to break the womb. It's the word that means a firstborn child coming forth, to break the womb. Her heart was broken open by God to heed. The word in the Greek, heed, means to be arrested of her mind. God arrested her mind, seized her. She was so interested in what was going on. The word means to bend the ear. I like that. It also means to stick like glue. Paul is speaking. Something's happening in her heart while he's speaking. And she's like this. She's drawn to hear what God is saying through this man. She had been prepared by the Lord. Remember, God works in unorthodox ways. How was he speaking to her? We don't know. There's no way to tell. But God was speaking to her. In John chapter 6, verse 44, you ought to jot this down, especially when it comes to evangelism and when we share with people. Jesus said, no one comes to me, unless the Father who has sent me draws him. That's why we're supposed to proclaim the news.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, a look at verses 11 through 19 of the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll pick up with part two of this fascinating study. You know, every year at this time, it seems that there arise discussions of the so-called true meaning of Christmas. And as the old saying goes, you ask three people, you'll get six opinions. The real meaning of the holiday, of course, is the celebration of Emmanuel, God with us, that the Word was made flesh to dwell among us. So imagine a Christmas without Jesus. That's the title of our teacher's CD series that we're offering right now. Its purpose is to keep our eyes on our Lord Jesus and to keep Christ in Christmas. Imagine a Christmas without Jesus, the CD series by Jack Hibbs, is yours when you send in a donation to Real Radio of any amount, and everything you contribute is tax-deductible. It's our way of saying, not Happy Holidays, but Merry Christmas. Let me quickly add this. Last year, on Christmas Day, my family and I sat down to listen to this presentation, and it really made our Christmas complete, reminding us in no uncertain terms the celebration's true meaning. Just ask for it by title, Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus, the CD series by Jack Hibbs. Visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO. The call is free, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your contribution, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.